right, good morning. It's good to see everybody out this morning. I read something this week. I did a lot of reading this week. 3% of people use 5 to 6% of their brains. Did you know that? But 97% only use 3%, and then the rest, it just goes away, right? And I don't really know what group I'm in, but I'm willing to bet that most of us, I'd say 99% of us, think we're that 3% 100% of the time, right? It's good to be out this morning. It's good to see you all. It's good to worship and fellowship together, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad, for Jake leading songs. I don't want to do all of those great songs with great theology in those songs, because songs, music has a big impact in how we understand and how we accomplish our walk with Christ. Well, what it means, songs can stick with you really well. So generally, I think I can confidently say that we are now a tired and worn out people. And this sermon may just be for me, but I think you feel that we are tired and we are worn out. It's become kind of more of the answer. Used to be the church answer was, when you asked how you were doing, people would say, I'm doing pretty good, or I'm fine. But now you're getting more of the answer of, I'm kind of tired, or I'm worn out. And that is something that's not just happening here in the congregation of Colquhoun. That is happening all throughout our society, that we are running at a pace that is unsustainable, and we're struggling to do that. And I think the biggest place that we feel it, and the biggest place that we see it, whether we realize it or not, is in our souls. Our souls get weary. And so last time, about 50 years ago when I was up here, we started asking the question, is it well with your soul? Our soul is how we commune with God. Our soul is the connection point. And if our souls are lost, if our souls are struggling, then our connection with God is being severed. Now, that's one way of talking about sin, isn't it? But oftentimes when we talk about sin, we say, I did something wrong. I did something that is against God. That is something that is bad, and I am separated from God. But sometimes we forget that sin also includes all the things that aren't necessarily wrong or bad, but they still sever our connection with God. We've got a pretty minute definition of sin that we work with today. Sin is separation from God. And so whenever our souls are broken, whenever our souls are weary, whenever our souls are unhealthy, we are losing that connection with God. Many of us are in trouble of doing that. And we just don't realize it. We are in danger of being separated from God, and we don't realize it because guess what? We're here today, right? We are here on Sunday morning. And so we come to worship. We give this hour to God. But our souls are dying inside. And not simply because it wasn't good enough worship. Don't give me that. It's because this 1 hour is surrounded by 160 hours when we don't have anything to do with our relationship with God. Our souls are dying because we're not feeding it properly. So something's got to change, right? And we think maybe this is just a season. That's what I hear a whole lot. Maybe this is just a season you're going through. Well, maybe. How long do your seasons last? Seasons change, right? Even here, we had about a week and a half of fall. Maybe two, but seasons change. Are you still going through a season, or has that become your life now? Is that what's going on? Matthew 11:28, Jesus sees us. He sees us, and he knows us. We are tired, weary, and worn out. Our souls are struggling, dying. And so he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus knows that our souls are tired. And so he offers to teach us. And that implies, if we're going to be taught, that we have some things to learn. We need to stop doing some things and start doing some others, maybe. That we need to live our lives a little bit differently, because Jesus is trying to teach us a way of rest. So we ask again this morning, is it well with your soul? And I think maybe to answer that question, let's just ask a few more. Ask yourself, is my soul undernourished? And just do a self-check. Think personally about yourself. Check in with yourself. Is my soul unnourished? Much of the damage we do to our souls is self-inflicted. Soul needs to be fed. But too often we're feeding our souls that aren't nourishing, that aren't very good for our souls. Instead, we binge on things like social media and things like that. And much of the problem is in these things, right? These little dopamine dispensers that we all have. I mean, just touching it. There are studies that show just touching it activate a little bit of part of your brain. You get a little hit. You get a little something just from touching your phone. And now I'm going to think about touching my phone all of the rest of this time. But if you keep doing that, if you just feed your soul junk food, it's no different than like what I've done for a long time, just feeding myself junk food and getting myself in the situation that I'm in. Because you feed your soul the junk. Even when you say, you know, things like, man, I hate social media. What do as soon as you pick up your phone? You hate it so bad you keep coming back minute after minute after minute. Memes, games, mindless scrolling. Again, the problem is junk food never satisfies. And we know this physically. We know the taste of junk food. We love it. But we know after a while it doesn't fill you up. You still feel empty. Your soul cannot rest when it's not satisfied with its diet. So God gives a remedy. He says, change your diet. Instead of feasting on junk food of the world, delight in the word of God. Psalms 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. Reading your Bible isn't just a task. It's nourishment for your soul. If you're doing it right, when you read scripture and let God read it through you, your soul is refreshed. And if your soul is undernourished, spend more time feasting on the Word of God. Maybe some of you all are doing the daily Bible reading, and you're about to wrap things up. And if you haven't, they're all over the internet. You can do this for 2026. I like the one that's called the Bible Recap. It goes chronologically. I think it's good. It helps kind of connect, for me, the big story of God. Feed your soul. So is your soul undernourished? Another question that we could ask ourselves, is my soul over-anxious? And one way you can ask yourself this question is, how restless do you feel right now? If you were to evaluate your physical state, because you can recognize your physical state, how anxious are you feeling right now? I'm at a 14. Anybody else? Anxiety is not an occasional problem anymore. It's the way of the world. It's how it works. Like John Prine says, that's the way that the world goes round. The world is full of us, full of things for us to be anxious about. And I think the goal is not simply to organize a life that eliminates stress and eliminates any kind of anxiety. I think that's impossible. Maybe hardwired into our society, into the world, I don't know, maybe even into creation, is this reality that stress is necessary. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's what we do with stress. Now, I've always heard like the illustration of weightlifting. You won't be able to tell this now, but I used to like to lift a weight here and there. And you wanted to feel it the next day. You wanted to be able to know that you were making some kind of progress. Now that's just vanity coming through, but there is a joy in the process of working out. And you know, you don't get good looking muscles necessarily, but you can still make your body feel better. Now, I can remember Jerry Swank doing bench presses, and he had arms that are about that big, and so he could do a whole bunch. And I wanted to be able to do that. And again, I wanted to be able to feel it in my chest the next day. If it wasn't there, it wasn't worth it. Whenever we are stressed, it's fight or flight. Most of the time, it's flight. It's run away from stress, right? We try to get away from anything that makes us anxious. And the problem is those are opportunities for us to grow. Those are opportunities for us to have some health when we step into those stressful situations with God by our side. And now we're going to be able to grow with some pain and with some struggle. But I want you to know that's not over-anxious. Over-anxious is a different thing. Over-anxious is debilitating. Over-anxious is when we don't get the things done that we need to get done. And the goal is not to simply manage anxiety and stress in our life. The goal is to walk in the presence of God by peace every day, no matter what. Peter says in 1 Peter 5:6, to humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. I used a different translation this time, and I apologize. He may lift you up in due time, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Those verses have got to go together, right? Sometimes we separate them in that song, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and then we leave off that next part as sort of like its own thought. But they go together for a reason. When you humble yourself, you're saying, I cannot take all of this on. There's way too much happening to me. There's too many stressful, anxiety-ridden situations in my life. I can't do it all. And Peter is here saying, God gets that. God understands that. Cast it upon him. And it's not like just sweeping your problems under a rug. It's not casting it over and saying, good luck, Jesus. Have some fun with that, right? It's more like saying, I have too much of a burden for myself, Jesus. Can you help me out? But whenever we give over our anxiety to Jesus, he walks with us. So it's not losing our responsibility. It's not shooting off when somebody comes on or off to someone else. What it's doing is saying, I can only do this with God by my side. I can only walk through this anxious, stressful situation with Jesus. And Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. Could it be that so much of our soul's weariness is the admission that we have functionally stopped coming to Jesus with our stress and our anxiety and our worries? We have functionally stopped. We are worried. When we are worried, when we are stressed, when we are burned out, where do you go? Do you go to Netflix? Do you go to a game? Do you scroll? Do you go to a gym? Do you go shopping? Do you go to a bottle? Do you go to a vape? Do you take a gummy? We go virtually anywhere else other than going to Jesus, right? When we're stressed, when we're burned out, when we're worried, the typical that people are heading anywhere else but Jesus. And any kind of lifestyle like that is frustrating to the restoration of our soul. It is hindering the care of our soul. Psalms 116:7 says, return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Return to your rest. It's not simply saying that go and do the things that help you chill out. That's not what it means. Return to your rest, O my soul, is returning to your Creator, whose image you are made in. And the only way for your soul to find refreshment is basking in the presence of the Creator. Because your soul is made in the image of God, and it needs to reflect that image. And the only way to do that is whenever you are in a space and time with your Creator. Jesus invites us to that way of life to restore our soul. I think a very haunting verse is in Jeremiah 6:16. It says, seek the ancient ways and walk in it, for you will find rest for your souls. You ask for it, walk in it, you'll be in it. But Jeremiah doesn't quit there. But you said, we will not walk in it. And here's the thing that I know. I know that I'm not saying anything here this morning that I think you would disagree with. I think you're all like, yeah, we all could probably use more rest for our souls. My soul is anxious. I could use a little bit more peace. And this season's terrible for that, isn't it? This is a season of dichotomy. There's a struggle of peace on earth and goodwill to men, and 12 people or 10 people getting shot at Brown University yesterday. It is a very anxious and stressful time of year. The dichotomy is going on, and we need more Jesus. We need more rest. We need more peace. And that's all right to say amen to that, I think, this morning. But here's the thing, though. We can agree in our minds and in our heads. We will agree, but can we agree with it with our lifestyles? Can we actually change what is necessary in order to live a life of peace? And we're all gonna nod our head. I typed this nodding my head saying, yes, we need more peace in the world, because I don't really want to simply just affirm my message. What I'm saying is I would like to change. I want us to change. I think God wants us to change, to be different. So here's the question, and maybe for the hardest one to ask. Am I willing to do what it takes to care for my soul? We've got a body, we've got a soul, you've got a mind and a heart, like the songs that we sing. He gets all four from that scripture. Most of us will do a lot of care for our body. I know, not the guy talking to you. Most of you all do a whole lot to take care of your body. You will eat healthy, you will work out, buy certain things that we think are flattering. Some of you comb your hair, we take a bath. We do certain things for our body to make sure that they are presentable, to make sure that we are healthy, to make sure we are doing well. But how much work, or the same amount of work and time, do we do to make sure that our soul is healthy? And only Christ can save our souls for the age to come. So, but you have to partner, right? A person has to partner with Jesus to save their soul from the infirmity of this present life. Jesus doesn't simply want a soul for eternity. He wants our souls now. He wants to refresh us now, yet I think very few of us have a conscious plan for taking care of our souls. A lot of times what I hear is, if I had more time in the day, then I would do this. I'd be able to read my Bible. I would be able to pray more. I'd be able to do whatever spiritual activity that you want to define. But here's the thing. You don't need more time, and you're not getting any more time. You have the same amount of time as someone else who is doing this. It's hard, but you got to have priorities. And what you need is a hard look at your life saying, what is sapping my time that I can't say yes to Jesus? What has taken away from the nourishment of my soul that I truly need? What is buying all of my time that I can't ever say, yes, Lord? All I get to say is, can I get another minute, God? When my kids have graduated, when they're out of the house, when I have an empty nest, when I'm not chasing around a job all the time, when I have more time for this, I'm going to do this, Lord. Or whenever I retire, I'm going to have more time for you, Lord. Is this really how we want our souls to just be barely scraping along until some distant time in the future that you may never even get to? And you're hoping that one day you're going to find care and rest for your soul before it's too late. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Matthew 11, take my yoke upon you and I'll give you rest. You cannot have the life of Jesus without the lifestyle of Jesus. And just imagine for a moment, can you ever imagine an anxious and stressed out Jesus? You think about the picture of Jesus that you have in your mind. Can you even put him in a situation with other people where he's frazzled, where he's anxious, where he's stressed out, where he tells somebody, hey, sorry, I do not have the time for you right now because I've got some other things going on. Sorry, I don't have time for this conversation because I can't just do it right now. You see these disciples? They've got all kinds of problems. They've got issues. I've got to spend time focused on them because they are a messed up group of people. And if I'm handing the church over to this group of people, they've got to be ready. So I'm sorry, I do not have the time. Can you imagine Jesus saying that to someone? Now, Jesus did not heal everyone, right? He didn't talk to everyone. He wasn't doing all of that. But here's the thing. Whenever someone needed him, he was there. And he never pushed someone aside because of anxiety. He wasn't anxious, he wasn't stressed out, and it's because Jesus understood, he was intentional, I think, in the practices that he engaged in his lifestyle. Again, you cannot have the life of Jesus without the lifestyle of Jesus. He was not anxious. He was not stressed out. And because of this, he engaged in these lifestyles. Peter said that you can't have the life of Jesus without the lifestyle of Jesus. So humble yourselves. And I think my printer has kind of gone wonky on me. Let's try that again. When Jesus knew it was time to take a nap, that is what Jesus did. Jesus knew that the body cannot function without sleep. So we get to Matthew chapter 8, and they're in a boat, and a huge storm has came upon them, and it says they got into the boat, and the disciples followed him, and suddenly a furious storm came upon the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. He could sleep anywhere. Some of me, I have a hard time sleeping in a moving car, right? I can't go to sleep for anything. Jesus is sleeping while the waves are cresting over the boat, and he's like, I can take the waves. I can take the waves coming over the boat. I am not going to wake up. It's nap time, I guess. He even gets upset with the disciples when they wake him up, and they tell him that he's scared. And I don't think he's mad because they woke him up. I think he's just disappointed that they were a little bit scared. So Jesus is like, Do you think I'm going to die like this? Do you think I'm going to drown? Do you think this is how the story goes? It almost says, in our language, relax. And then he tells the waves to do the same thing. Peace. Be still. Jesus knew that the body needs sleep. But way too many of us think, I don't need that much sleep, right? I can burn the candle at both ends. I can get less and less sleep and get maybe a little more and more. I'll be fine. But here's a random fact. Did you know that the average sleep before the light bulb was 11 hours? So apply that to your hardworking ancestors. Before the light bulb, the average amount of sleep a night was 11 hours. And that sounds amazing, I think. Some of us are like, no way. I got way too much things to do. But you know what they didn't have? Anxiety, depression, stress. At least not categorized and medicated like we do today. I wonder if the two are related. The psalmist understood that sleep is a gift from God. Psalms 127 says it is in vain that you rise up early, go to late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sheep. Sleep is a gift from God, and sleep is also an act of faith. Psalms 3 says, I lay down, I woke again, and the Lord sustained me. David wrote that when he was on the run from his son Absalom, who was trying to kill him. And he says, I could sleep because God watched over me. Never, there's no other place, right, where we are more vulnerable than we when we are asleep. That is the most vulnerable place we will be. And so taking a nap is an act of faith. It's an act of faith, right? So next time you take a nap, you can say, that is spiritual. Jesus did it. The Bible says so. And if you get anything from this sermon today, and maybe you're doing it right now, enjoy your nap, right? And another practice Jesus modeled is silence. Jesus often sought solitary places to pray and recover. After he sends the disciples out on a mission two by two, he knew that they would come back excited and exhausted. And so he said, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. And that's why Mark tells us, for many were coming and going, and they had no leisure to even eat. They needed to get away. Not just sleep, but turn on the quiet, right? Let rest be something for you. Be quiet. Do you believe that it's important to create a margin in your life for God? Let me say something. I believe it's true that we all want God in our lives. But do we really live for God? And certainly, we are here this morning, right? We love God, but how many of us prioritize time to be with God? That's what silence is about. Your soul suffers when it's exposed to constant noise, when you're always filling your life with these things that drain you, when silence starts to show up and you say, I've got to turn the TV on. I got to get some music on. I cannot stand the quiet. If you cannot stand the silence, something in your life needs attention, because God often speaks the loudest in the silence. You all know I'm struggling with this. That's why it's just a struggle, right? I can hardly sit for 30 minutes before I have to go talk to someone or turn something on. It's just one more rhythm, right? You just got to kind of push through. Our soul suffers, though, when we're never quiet before God. Well, one more, and that's Sabbath. Jesus was intentional about his rhythm of rest. And we'll talk maybe a little bit more Sabbath next week, hopefully. But Sabbath isn't just about doing nothing. It's intentional worship and renewal. Jesus made it a habit to gather with others who were worshiping the Father. Public worship is good for your soul. You cannot have the life of Jesus, again, without the lifestyle of Jesus. And these last few years have been pretty crappy, haven't they? COVID, drug rate abuse has skyrocketed. Alcohol abuse has skyrocketed. Anxiety, depression, domestic abuse, divorce, pretty much anything negative you can think of has been on the rise. We are tired. We are worn out. The world is difficult to live in right now. We need renewal. We need rest for our souls. And there's no quick fix. There's no pill. There's no rehab. There's no program. There's no shortcut. There's a long walk with Jesus. So maybe God is calling you to slow down and take a nap. Maybe he's calling you to sit in silence. Maybe he's calling you to build better Sabbath rhythms. Maybe he's calling you to something else. Maybe he's been tugging on your soul saying, you need to give that to me right now. Maybe you need to confess sin, seek forgiveness, be baptized into Christ, go apologize, whatever you need to do, whatever God is calling you to do. Are you going to listen? Or are you going to say, that's a pretty good idea, Lord God, when I get time for it? How long? How long do we continue to put God off? This morning, the invitation is for those who are hearing Christ's voice that is asking you to come and follow him, all who are weary and heavy laden. If that's you this morning, please come as together we stand and we sing.